VIP. Let's kick it.
All right.
Collaborate and listen.
All right. I've had it. Something. I've had enough. Tightly flow like a harpoon daily and night. Good morning.
Will it ever stop?
Yo, I don't know.
The award-winning Matthew and Jimmy. I've had enough, Jimmy. I've had it.
What have we had it with exactly?
My street. That's what I've had it with. What day is this? Like, the 11th day of this?
Yeah, I think Saturday, so 11 or 12.
Okay, so I think I've been really good. I won't say complained. I've just said what's going on. I haven't complained about it, but I'm done. I actually called the garbage server. What?
Oh, boy.
The garbage service I use. Now, last week, it's picked up on Tuesdays, and good morning, everyone. We'll get to the sports in a minute. This has become our new sport, is trying to navigate icy, snowy streets. Oh, boy. I'm just getting started. I called my garbage service yesterday. A week ago on Tuesday, I got it. I understood why they didn't pick it up. I called them yesterday. That was Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
Yesterday. In the morning, I said, I'm just trying to figure out if there will be a collection today. Yes, sir. Absolutely. We will be there. Now, the other garbage service in my neighborhood, they picked up all their trash cans. They're all sitting out there. The lids are up, and there's no garbage. They picked up the garbage. Did they come and pick up the garbage yesterday?
No.
No is the correct answer. Did I drive up to Kroger across the street from where I lived this morning at 7:45 to get a couple things? Did I see two of my garbage services trucks sitting in the parking lot talking to each other? Yes. It is now 10:03 or whatever it is. Have they come across the street in my neighborhood? No. I've had it, Jimmy.
Do you think it's because they know that you're a New York Giants fan?
Of course it is. It's a Giants and Yankees fan.
Yeah, I think that's probably what it is. They know you're one of those pompous people from the Northeast.
Okay, wait a minute. So you just used that word again?
Yeah.
With me?
Yeah.
Okay, now let's switch.
I'm just asking. I'm not saying you are.
What the hell are you talking about? Why do you keep calling me pompous? Why?
Well, the other day, it's because you kept saying Olympiads.
Yeah, which is not being pompous. It's being accurate. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just thinking if they're probably Patriots fans, if I had to guess, the trash company, and they know. So they're not. And yesterday was the anniversary of the New York football Giants beating the Patriots, that undefeated team. So that's probably honestly why they didn't do it yesterday if they were supposed to.
Okay, so if, let me say this. If I go out after the show and I get a big Patriots sticker and put it on the front of my trash can,
yes,
you think that might work?
Almost a guarantee.
I'll do anything to get my trash can. Is the lid doesn't close. And me, you, I should have taken a video of it because you love this stuff when I get embarrassed. You should have seen me trying to get that trash can from the side of my house down the hill. That's my front lawn.
Yeah. Through the
curb.
Through the snow and the boulders of ice.
Yeah, you should have seen that. You would have loved it because you would have said something like, see, even pompous people get embarrassed or something like
something,
that.
Something along those lines, yeah.
Oh, my Lord. Thank goodness I had the flag football game to watch last night and bring me some happiness. Not. Did you? Let me ask you this, Mr. NFL. Did you watch the flag football game?
I think I saw maybe 10. It was on for like 10, 15 minutes. I didn't really watch. I did see Ja'Marr Chase's pick six that he had. That was pretty nasty.
Yeah, well, I think that was the number two top play
today.
Yeah, that was good. That was fun to watch.
Yeah, Jared Goff's not a great flag football quarterback. When you don't have to count seven Mississippis until you rush, Jared Goff was not. He was not in his element. It was cool seeing Brandon Aubrey, the kicker for Dallas. He was out there just playing.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
In the 10 minutes I saw, the one takeaway I had was, I don't know what the official's name was, but they were calling everything, and Jason Kelce was done with it. At one point, he said, "Can someone let her know it's not that serious?" Because it was one of the linemen, I forget who it was for. I think it was Garrett Bowles for the Broncos. It caught a touchdown, and they waved it off because it was an illegal forward pass or something. I don't know what it was, but
I'll tell you, the NFL is really something.
I did see that AFC Pro Bowl quarterback room, Shedeur Sanders, Joe Flacco, and the Bengals.
Yeah.
The Bengals, that has to be the first time two quarterbacks from the same team are Pro Bowlers. Flacco and Burrow were both Pro Bowlers for a team that missed the playoffs. How does that make sense?
How does that happen? Anyway. We will be talking at 10:30 with our NFL guy, Vinny Iyer of the Sporting News. And boy, do we have questions to ask him, I think. Once and for all, I want to get rid of this Belichick Kraft crap. Okay?
Get rid of it. How? Like just put him in the Hall of Fame?
Well, they're going to go in the Hall of Fame. My whole thing, there's a guy, we had him on our show, Gary Myers, who is terrific. He's from New York, covers a multitude of sports. He posted something yesterday that basically explained why this whole thing has gone on in terms of the voting. And there were things in there I did not know. And should they be in the Hall of Fame? Of course they should. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how broken the voting system is that led to all of this, that is not being talked about basically at all. It's not, oh, well, Deflategate and Kraft. It's not that. It's the voting. Should the Hall of Fame be embarrassed? Yeah, it should be. It's a joke. And what makes it even worse is very shortly, this class of guys who did get in to the Hall of Fame, they should be celebrated. That's not what's going to happen. All the talk will be about Belichick and Kraft, and that's disgraceful. Anyway, we'll talk to Vinny about that.
I do think, though, with the voting, the fact that only a select few can get in, I don't think there should be a cap on it. Because if there is a year where there's all of the – and there will be years where there's, you know, not everyone gets voted in. But if there's enough people that want to vote for 10 people,
right,
let them all get in. I don't think that's fair that you have this amount of votes. Like, okay, we can only have this many.
Right.
What happens if you have a class where there's 15 in the next year? There could only be two guys that are really good. Like, it's not fair to the guys who should be first ballot Hall of Famers. Well, I can't vote for him because, you know, Ken Anderson was in his last year, so I wanted to vote for him.
Right. Exactly. All of it. The whole thing is ridiculous. It's absurd. But I'm done talking about it. Obviously, I'm not, I guess. Okay, never mind. We'll talk to Vinny about that. And then, how about, is this, I guess you and I, looking ahead months, we said, on Wednesday, let's see, the 4th of February. What a perfect time to have Ricky O'Donnell on. What a perfect time to explain all the blockbuster trades that went on yesterday.
There's something about Tuesdays in the NBA, because with us having Ricky on Wednesdays, I believe the Luka trade happened on a Tuesday. It was either Monday or Tuesday. It was the day after, right. I think, that we had him on. Like, all of these NBA things always seem to happen on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
I don't know why. And then the next day is, oh, perfect, cool. Ricky's coming up.
Yeah, Ricky. And I want to ask him about how brilliant the Memphis Grizzlies are, because they now have, I think, seven first-round draft picks. And you hear that and you go, holy crap. They could draft, well, not so fast. Number one draft pick in, I don't know, 2029, 2030, 2031. Oh, that's some of their first round draft picks. I'm like, oh man. I want Ricky to explain the whole thing with these trades.
That 2031 class, though, I'm trying to do the math. Rajon Rondo's kid is in eighth grade now. So that could be the number one in 2031.
Okay. And they probably have some interns like we have sitting in the studio today. And we have great interns up at our media group. They're all over the place now. And they're all wonderful. They probably have some interns working on the eighth grade, seventh grade classes for those future number one draft picks. Yeah, that's probably why they did it.
That's why that 2031 first rounder is so coveted.
Oh, okay. I didn't even realize that. All right. Thank you for pointing that out. Anyway, Ricky O'Donnell, what do you think about James Harden going to Cleveland? And meanwhile, James Harden, Hall of Famer, we know how great he's been basketball-wise. They keep putting up his playoff numbers and record.
Rightfully so.
Maybe it's not, I don't know.
And they should also put up, I have a clip that we can play during Top Calls. We played it actually 2 years ago. It's the TV guy for the Dallas Mavericks. I don't know if you remember. It's been getting shared around everywhere again this morning, where he puts on a two-minute masterclass of what James Harden does everywhere he goes. It's so good. And it's from 2 years ago when he was demanding a trade, I think, out of Brooklyn and went to L.A., and it was when the Mavericks were playing the Clippers and all that.
Oh, good.
And people are playing it again. Like, this could have been recorded yesterday, and it's just the same.
Oh, Lord. You know what I wish? I just thought of this. I wish he would show up in Cleveland without the beard.
Oh.
Like, just get rid of it.
Go like way back, like rookie year in OKC, James Harden.
Yeah. Like, what, you want to shake up the NBA?
I mean, that's kind of what he did. I don't remember which trades, there's been so many, where he was fat where before he got traded. Then when he got traded, it was like, how did James Harden just lose 30 pounds?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he should do that with the beard.
Well, here's the thing, though. I'm sure this is the Samson effect for him. I mean, mentally, if he ever shaved that beard, I'm sure he thinks all his powers would be gone.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
He wouldn't be able to do that James Harden step back anymore.
Correct.
It would just disappear. It's like the Space Jam situation.
It would be just one air ball after another.
Yeah.
Kind of like it would be with you. Like, if you shaved your beard, all your powers would be gone, probably.
Likely, yeah.
Has James ever seen you without a beard?
No.
Oh, do it.
Yeah, but my beard's not. Like, I'm not. I don't have a James. For anyone listening, I don't have a James Harden beard. This is just like a two weeks' growth worth of a beard. I've tried to get the James Harden beard, but after about a month, I just kind of start to look a little homeless. So I just have to trim it.
But see, I think it would be worth it because it'll grow back, like you say, in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I think it'd be worth it for you to shave and then take your phone video when you walk through the door and James sees you. See, that I would love. I would love that.
At some
like,
point,
would he just stare at you like, where's dad?
He would probably get scared if I had to guess. This is stranger danger.
Okay.
And I think Bree would be the same.
I was just gonna say.
Yeah.
Although I don't know. You didn't have a beard when
the only time she's really seen me as was our wedding day. But I didn't shave it with a razor. It was just like no guard with a beard trimmer. So
What about when you two met?
Same.
Really?
Yeah, no. I haven't clean shaved my face maybe two or three times in the last 10 years.
I don't get it. I just don't get it. You millennials are just...
It's the superpower thing. I'm afraid.
Okay.
That's what it is. I'm a coward. I didn't want to say it,
but okay. Probably if you actually were clean shaven and you came in to do the show, you probably wouldn't be able to talk.
I don't know. That's
together show prep notes.
Again, I don't want to find out what's on the other side of that door.
Okay. All right. Valid. So Vinny Iyer. See, this is once again why Matthew and Jimmy is the award-winning Matthew and Jimmy. Because really, how many people do you think on all the call-in or radio shows this morning said they wish James Harden would shave his freaking beard? How many people? Zero.
Yeah.
That's what I'm guessing.
The only people will are the same people that got into a 15-minute argument about Punxsutawney Phil on Monday. It's the same people.
Wait a minute.
Us.
Okay. I was confused there for a minute. I was sure that was an insult, but I don't think it was. You were just pointing out it's the only two people, you and me.
We're the only two people that are bringing up the important things that no one else is talking about.
That was the point I was trying to make. Thank you. Okay. Punxsutawney Phil and James Harden's beard.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. That was today's Wednesday. That was Monday. Did we not do anything like that yesterday?
No, yesterday.
Remember.
Yesterday was a more measured show.
Okay.
A little.
A little. At the top of the hour at 11, we're going to let you hear. Boy, Colin Chandler spoke for a while, didn't he?
He did.
Wow. And that brings up, it is game day in the Bluegrass tonight at 9 p.m. tip against the Sooners will be at Rupp. Oklahoma. Be careful, people. Don't go by the record. Be careful. Well, what am I talking about? You have to go by the record. You want me to predict it now before our 7:30 p.m. pregame show?
Yeah, sure.
Blowout.
Which way?
Blowout.
Kentucky blows? Okay.
Yes.
I don't know.
Oklahoma's not going
to
blow.
Trying to ruffle some feathers around here. I don't know. Motivate the guys. Because we know they're all huddled around a little radio in the building right now.
The transistor radio that they have.
Yeah, and they're walking over to the bulletin board as we speak.
Okay.
That they keep in the locker room.
Maybe I should do that. No, I think we're going to beat them by 24 tonight. Because you remember,
we're talking like walk-ons are getting threes at the end of the game.
Yes. And all the starters and guys on the bench are going to be holding up three fingers and doing all that stuff at the end of the game. Because you remember last game against Arkansas, I said Arkansas would win by 10, and we know how that worked out.
Yeah.
So maybe I should pick Oklahoma today. I can't. Anyway. Although we don't know how we're going to play at Rupp tonight. We know we did this on the road, but we'll see. 7:30 p.m. District 7 social people, UK Game Day pregame with me and Steve Tressler and a host of other people, apparently, I think, are going to join us. But that place is awesome. I can't wait to get back there tonight. All right, what else? Let's see. We've still got a few minutes. Oh, Jimmy has a, by the way, we're a 9.5-point favorite. What did I say yesterday? 11.5, I thought it would
be. Yeah, figured it'd be somewhere around 10.
Yeah, I think it'll go up by game time tonight. Saturday, we play Tennessee at Rupp again. Wow. The Cats are going to wear the long-awaited denim throwback uniforms. Do you like those uniforms?
I was looking up a picture. I don't really get the nostalgia of it. Like just looking at it, not understanding the history with it. Is it actual denim or is it just the color? No. See, then no. I don't like it. No, yeah. I don't like it.
I agree with you.
Jorts if we're really going to call them the denim uniforms.
I agree with you 100%. It's celebrating the 30th anniversary of the 1996 national championship team, whose captain, in case you've forgotten, was Mark Pope. So that'll be Saturday against Tennessee.
Yeah, that's the one thing that if you're a Kentucky fan, is in the back of your head is, I hope they're not overlooking. Because like I talked about a couple days ago, I don't know if this would be considered a trap game, but you're facing a team that's 1-8 in the SEC at home. You're coming off the high of beating Arkansas. And you've got Tennessee, the denim uniforms, the players have all seen them. They see what it looks like.
Looking ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's more of a fan thing than a player thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's always something to think about. If they do go on, if I don't even want to put it out there, but that's what everyone's going to go to instead of they just got outplayed, you always do the, right. Clearly they were studying Tennessee instead of Oklahoma. They didn't even know what they were doing. But I do wonder if Mark Pope will come out with something like a different type of suit. I don't know if it'd be the full Canadian tuxedo, which I personally think he should. Just go denim everything.
Yeah.
But I think he should wear his old uniform on the sideline.
Wow.
The denim one.
Yeah. Now we're talking.
If he's really bought in, I think he should. Or at least come out with it and then maybe do like a quick wardrobe change, something.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that we have enough time before Saturday to actually talk to some people we know inside the program.
Yeah.
And who maybe suggest it to them. Not to say we told them to.
Right.
Because we don't want to be associated with that. No, but
let them take the idea.
Yeah. Right. Okay. All right. What else before we get to Vinny Iyer? The Pro Bowl.
I did see Micah Parsons was kind of the main event from the Pro Bowl.
When I turned it on, and Laura Rutledge was interviewing him, and he was in one of those motorized scooters sitting down.
Was she also in a little Walmart scooter?
No, she wasn't.
Oh, good for her.
She was standing next to him, and right in the middle of the interview was when Ja'Marr Chase made the pick.
Yeah.
And Micah Parsons lost it and said, I'm sorry, and took off going down the field. Like, after the guys. They showed Micah Parsons a lot.
Yeah, they did.
Let's just say. So, whatever. I mean, good. Entertainment, great.
It's trying to make it a thing, but it's not.
I'm just
if they really want to just do a reality show. If this is what the Pro Bowl's turning into, have cameras just follow the guys around and then make it a Hard Knocks episode where you're just following the Pro Bowlers around. It would probably be more entertaining.
I agree.
I mean, the flag game wasn't bad. I mean, but again, you're watching flag football and the guys aren't really, really trying.
No, but the one good thing I will say is what you talked about before is about some huge tubby lineman playing.
Yeah.
Catching a touchdown, you know, the kicker, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fun for a minute and a half. And then what? Anyway. Okay. Boy, when does baseball start? Really soon, I think. I'm not watching, but for you, maybe.
I'll be watching.
Didn't your Giants just sign? Oh, Giants signed Luis Arraez, right? Yeah.
It's a very typical Giants signing. You wait till a guy. Now, Luis Arraez, I think he won two or three straight batting titles last year.
Three.
Yeah, last year he hit .292, so he's not done with his career. But typically the Giants wait and sign that name until they're about 4 years past what their prime was. So. Yeah.
Also, you know what I saw? He is their new second baseman. You know what he doesn't do well?
Play second base.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And but when you're hitting .360, you can get away with that. If you're hitting .292,
yeah,
and you don't hit for power, you don't really steal bases, you're not really good defensively.
Yeah.
That's okay. When it could become an issue.
All right. We'll see. They announced the guys are what cap they're going to have on their Hall of Fame plaque. Yeah, great. All of it.
Carlos Beltran's not going to have an Astros one?
Nope.
Oh.
That's shocking, isn't it?
Yeah. Or maybe something like a video camera or something as a helmet or like a buzzer.
With a little garbage can on
yeah. the Yeah, oh, the garbage can. That's the move. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a little one.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to have a New York Mets cap. All this Hall of Fame stuff. See, and it used to be great when you watched the ceremony of the guys, you know, and it's not going to be, even the Carlos Beltran thing now will be. Oh, like you just said, he's not wearing an Astros. Mm. Yeah. Oh, okay. Anyway, it's a good thing we don't have to worry about that. Our Hall of Fame credentials will never be questioned, ever.
Ever?
Ever. Hopefully.
They didn't have cameras following you around back in the day, so I think you're safe.
How many times have I said, thank God we didn't have cell phones and smartphones back when I was somebody?
Yeah, but I mean, what all was going on in Hollywood in the 80s? I mean,
good point.
There wasn't anything.
And the 90s, yeah. By the way. And the late 70s, by the way, now that I think about it. Nothing going on. Speaking of the NFL, did you see Roger Goodell in one of the Super Bowl press conferences talked about how many he wants to have 16 games in other parts of the world?
Yeah. That's a lot of games.
Oh, my Lord. And then, speaking of games, he's been pushing for 18-game seasons. Finally, the NFLPA, the Players Association, came out and said, shut up. Ain't happening, okay?
I believe the quote was, they don't have an appetite for 18 games.
Okay.
But Goodell, I see why he's doing it, to get the fans on board, because his whole thing has been, everyone wants the Monday off after the Super Bowl. Well, with 18 games, it pushes everything back 1 week. What's 1 week after the Super Bowl? President's Day. So this would give everybody what they want by having Monday off after the Super Bowl, but the players are so selfish, they don't want it, so Goodell can try to be the good guy and go, look, I tried to get you guys the day off after the Super Bowl, but the players are just lazy.
What?
That's what he's trying to do.
All right. Enough.
Just keep expanding it like the college football playoff. Just 20 game. Why 18?
Yeah.
Just keep going.
Right.
Yeah.
Have it all year. Have it be every week all year.
Yeah.
Okay?
Hockey players do it.
All right. We got to take a break. Vinny Iyer's waiting to talk to us. Maybe we'll ask him what he thinks about an 18-game season and 16 international games. All right. It's ESPN 92.5 and 1300 AM.
Matthew and Jimmy, Alan Cutler and Brad Taylor. We ain't much to look at, but who cares? It's radio, local and live Monday to Friday, 10 to 3. Get the ESPN Lexington app. Just search ESPN Sports Lexington in your app store.
Hear the best SEC talk in America on the Paul Feinbaum Show with me, Paul Feinbaum. Weekdays 3 to 7 on ESPN 92.5 and 1300 AM.
Brought to you by Clark's Pump and Shop. Return, refresh, it's radio. Local and live Monday to Friday, 10 to 3. Get the ESPN Lexington app. Just search ESPN Sports Lexington in your app store.
All right, welcome back, Matthew and Jimmy, on the Wednesday of Super Bowl week, Super Bowl 60. You know how old I am, Jimmy?
I'd rather not say.
Okay, thank you. I remember
42?
Watching.
42?
What?
42?
A little bit older.
Yeah.
I remember watching the first Super Bowl. I was old enough. I wasn't like four. I wasn't like James. I was old enough to actually be watching the very first Super Bowl, which, by the way, none of us thought, yeah, okay, big deal, whatever. Anyway.
It caught on, I think you could. Is it safe to say that?
Yeah, it's safe to say.
Mainstream.
And it's also safe to say that we have been talking with Vinny Iyer, who has become a very good friend of ours. I hope he feels the same way. All season long, building up to this week, right? Isn't that what we played the games for, to see who makes a Super Bowl, right?
I believe.
Okay. Well, now we get to do it right before we actually play the game. So, once again, we are eternally grateful to be able to say hello to our friend Vinny Iyer. Hello, Vinny.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Are you ready for this game to kick off? I think I am. It's too long.
All right. Hold on now. Hold on. Before we get to this game, I'm sure Jimmy feels the same way. We want to know what you thought about, actually, to me, the more important game, the flag football game last night. Huh? How about that?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I mean, when Kadar Sanders was making plays, but no surprise, he had Jalen Hurts and Dak Prescott on the other side. Guess who was going to win that game? And so, I don't know. Like, I see competitive flag on the youth level quite a bit. And this is what some of the kind of the Olympians that are hoping it's a sport next time are saying. Like, it's a different game. Like, it's out there, and I'm glad they're promoting flag, which is important for the
youth.
It's becoming a bigger, bigger sport, and they're playing it on all types of levels now that is equally competitive to tackle football. But my problem is they just go around. You have Garrett Bowles running around and making a play. Like, Garrett Bowles would not do really well in a real flag football game, like Olympics. Like, it just would not happen. It's almost like it's a fun exhibition thing, but I mean, the Pro Bowl, I guess that's the best you're going to get, right? Just guys, you can see their stars doing shenanigans and Jason Kelce getting overhyped about it. I guess that's your only way to kind of sell this, and that's why they kind of put it on Super Bowl week now. Like, okay, we're not going to use a Sunday for this anymore. We're just going to dump it in the middle of Super Bowl week between opening night and the other thing. It's, I think what the NFL doesn't like to admit is that the Super Bowl week is just kind of boring for most people outside of the people on the ground at the Super Bowl, right? It's just not compelling. Like, you're just waiting for the game. You're creating storylines that don't exist, like Drake May's injury, that aren't there, right? And everyone's like, oh, he's playing, but he was never in danger of not playing. Like, don't give us, you created a thing that we were looking at and we go in that direction. So I look at how this happens, and we just have so much time that we have to kill.
Yeah.
Now, the NFL created another drama. I think they created that Bill Belichick drama on purpose. This Bill Belichick, Robert Kraft drama, I think it was intentional because, oh, the Patriots are here. So let's create a storyline. Let's have all – I've never seen also – I'm going to call it a group of, like, in terms of media. I don't think there's any more Boston against the world media than Boston. Like, right? Like, they're always like, we're going to dig deep to find out why the Patriots are disrespected.
Yeah.
Like, they're creating a narrative that outside of New England, nobody thinks exists. Like that they're being disrespected. I mean, come on. Like, look, there's some things that went on with Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick that aren't perfect. They're not perfect candidates for the Hall of Fame, whether you just weigh their abilities on the field as owners. Like, they were flawed people, and it's okay, your people voting for this, if they don't feel like they should get the honor of just going straight into a Hall of Fame. And I think everyone forget, it just bothers me that we're the first people to rip all the personality conflicts with these guys. We're also the first people to rip other people for factoring in those personality
right.
issues in right. making decisions like this. They're going to get in the Hall of Fame. I think we've made it seem like they're never going to see the Hall of Fame. They'll be there. It's okay if they have to wait. And I think this is also making sure that some of the players get the spotlight that go in. And like, I think there's that sense too. It's like, oh, the Patriots are in the Super Bowl, so this is going to dominate and take away a little bit from these other guys.
Right.
Drew Brees and Larry Fitzgerald, that are both these guys are Walter Payton Men of the Year level
yep.
guys, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
you're not going to take away from those guys who didn't have those type of blemishes and were no drama throughout their entire career. So I think that plays into it. I think LC Greenwood is also a late kind of sentimental favorite to get in because, again, he's such a big part of the Steelers curtain that I thought he was already in the Hall of Fame for many years. And he was on commercials and all that. He was a pretty visible face of that curtain. So now that he passed away a few years ago and he was sick, like, I think this is a thing that they can honor someone's legacy. So I think everyone needs to look at the people that are getting in and honor them a little bit more instead of worrying about who's not getting in, because those
right.
guys will get in.
Right.
So anyway, they needed to create that drama. Otherwise, there would be not much to talk about with the Patriots Seahawks. And they know that. The NFL knows this.
This is why one of the reasons Vinny is so great, Jimmy. We just talked about that before, about how about honoring the guys that are actually going in. But I didn't have the thought of that they're actually creating this Patriot disrespect.
I am curious too, Vinny, how often does it come out before like the finalists are named, where someone is for sure not getting it? Like, it seemed weird that the Belichick news came out, and then it was just, was it yesterday or might have been Monday that it came out? Robert Kraft is not. So, like, how and why, unless it was orchestrated, how did that come out that Bill Belichick wasn't getting in? And coincidentally, it happened to be the week where, you know, that off week during Super Bowl, the two-week period.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's odd because you never hear these leaks. Even the Eli Manning leak is kind of bizarre, right? And I think that might be also a little bit of a Patriots narrative, right? Who's the guy who beat them in two Super Bowls? Eli Manning. So then you can create a little bit more controversy over that going in, whatever. I don't think there's a lot of controversy with Eli Manning. I think he has to wait a little bit. I mean, look at his body of work. Look, he made two Super Bowl runs, but the rest of the body work, I mean, didn't have MVPs, didn't have a lot of Pro Bowls. Didn't have a lot of things, really, when you look statistically, that would put him up with the
right.
top guy. So I think that's justified. That's why everyone doesn't really care. Like, they know that he's going to have to wait, and they also want to give Drew Brees his due, where they don't want to put Drew Brees and Eli Manning. They might be more inclined to put Ben Roethlisberger in with Eli. I think they would love to put him and Roethlisberger and Rivers in together, but that may not happen. So there's all these things and drama, storylines, narratives that they're creating behind the scenes. Again, who leaks this information? People in the NFL. So, I mean, there's just that type of thing that goes on. And the other thing is, look, I'm guilty of it this week. I'm writing a lot about Super Bowl 49. But to ask all these people now about Super Bowl 49, like, what do you want me to do? Like, Mike McDonald was asked about, like, what the heck? Like, he was a coaching assistant trying to just get into the NFL 11 years ago. What is he going to do? Like, stop. Like, these guys, like, 11 years ago might be an eternity, you know, in the NFL. Like, it might as well be. So, if we're just caught up in this one play so much, like, I get it. It was exciting. It was fantastic. And that's what everyone wants to know. This is the one Seahawks-Patriots Super Bowl narrative in the past that we can hammer home this week, right? But how tiring is it? It has to be for the current versions of these teams, right? This is totally different. None of these people are there. Like, it would be a little different if some of the players were still on these teams, but they're not. So,
yeah.
I don't know. That also takes away from the abilities of these teams, the way they rebuild. And it takes away that, look, these teams are completely different. It's like saying the 69 Miracle Mets are the same as the 86 Mets. Like, it's the same thing, right? They're not the same team. Their circumstances are different. Like, so you keep asking, hey, what happened when Ron Swoboda did this? No. We're not going to be talking about that in 1986. But now that's the thing we have to do. Like, we have to do it. So, I mean, Malcolm Butler has probably talked about the Super Bowl. In fact, 2 years ago, I talked to him about it. He's given the same answer for, like, 4 or 5 years now, like, but everyone still has to get that. So it's just a thing with their media coverage sometimes that I'm going to call out. It's like, can we bring more attention to what's actually going on now than what happened before? Because, like, I know we're playing on nostalgia and fans and all that, but fans also want to get excited about the teams they have now.
Right. By the way, before you go, Jimmy, again, we always say, did I ever in a million years think that Ron Swoboda's name would be brought up on a show today? And the answer is no. And once again, it's why Vinny Iyer is so great.
Two-time champ.
Yeah.
He was on the 69 Mets. I'm not making this up, right?
No, I know that. Jimmy doesn't even know who he is.
But wasn't there a game where silly trivia question. I used to know that Steve Carlton had like 20 plus strikeouts and Ron Swoboda won the game because he hit two home runs.
Correct. Yes.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So these are some stupid facts I know.
I'm curious, Vin, have you been to at the Super Bowl covering it before with the week long, you know, Super Bowl media row and all that? Have you been there with this media frenzy? How many have you covered if you have?
Yeah, this is the – I guess I'm going every other year now at this rate, or depending on where it is. Yeah, since the pandemic, it's been kind of up and down here. But, yeah, I had to count it like 14. So I've been to 14. I don't know. Maybe next year I'll go back. I mean, again, I'm surprised it's back in Los Angeles already after only 5 years. Like, It wasn't the best place, I'll just say that. It just doesn't have that same feel some of these other places. My favorite Super Bowls are New Orleans, Arizona, and Miami. I think those should be in the rotation every year. Now we're adding Las Vegas. Atlanta's not that exciting either in terms of a place. So spread out. And I don't know how much buzz they're getting in this one because everything is centered in San Jose versus San Francisco. They're really making it a Silicon Valley, Santa Clara Super Bowl. So, I don't know. Like, I think the more and more we get through this, less events are there during Super Bowl week. It's more compressed. I think this is why you're seeing some manufacturing, some of the hype. Because, again, it doesn't have the same hype. I mean, right now, the Thunder is being stolen by the NBA trade deadline. So,
yep.
NFL... So, I mean, justifiably so. I mean, that's way more exciting with what's going on with maybe Giannis being traded. So, I think that's a hard thing for the NFL. NFL does not like that. It doesn't like to be second fiddle anyone, but I don't think it's quite figured out how to recreate the Super Bowl hype that used to be there. I just think people are more distracted. They don't need to buy into everything Super Bowl in 1 week and shut everything else down. There's just too many things going on, sports that we care about that we didn't care about 20 years ago. Bottom line.
Wow. All right. We only got a couple of minutes left. Let's talk about the actual game. What's going to happen? Right. Who you got?
I like the Patriots. I think they're the better complete team.
Wow.
I can say that. They've got a very good run defense. Every time Milton Williams plays, he was a big pickup for the Eagles. So I think they can control the running game. Sam Darnold has a bigger history of turnovers than Drake May and the inaccuracy. So, again, everyone's been dumping on Drake May, but everyone's been looking at the last three games. I mean, look at the entire season. Drake May has been the better quarterback. And I think the biggest factor is in this game is going to be Drake May's legs. Like, this is the element that the Seahawks cannot control as well, that Drake May running around and making plays. So I think that's the difference of this game, that he can move around and Sam Darnold cannot.
I heard yesterday that Drake May had more scrambles than any other quarterback this year. And I think he averaged 13 yards on his scrambles. That's pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone just looks at him and doesn't see him being a plus athlete, but he really is up there.
I
would say he's top. I think he's top five in that position in terms of being able to run. He just doesn't need to when you have an arm that's accurate. You're completing 70% of your passes downfield. You don't always need to take off and run. But I think that's an element. If you look at the Seahawks, there's been three things their defense struggles with. People thrown to the tight end, people thrown to the running back, and his quarterbacks being able to take off and run. And the Patriots do all three of those things. So I think that's where the game will be won. And I just think you give Mike Vrabel, like, the Seahawks are limited in personnel-wise and how many impact players they have, and I think that's usually not good when you play the Patriots.
It is kind of crazy, the disrespect for Drake May from the last couple games. I think people are forgetting he is one of the two there's a couple finalists for MVP, but it's still, I assume it's still a toss-up who's going to win it, him or Stafford, and I can't remember an MVP finalist getting talked about how bad he is and, like, going into the Super Bowl that he's playing. It just doesn't make sense in the whole the easy schedule thing. Like, it seems like people are just, which in that part I guess I get, where Boston fans could think there's disrespect for the team, more just towards Drake May, that he's not that good. It's like he put up these numbers. I don't care who he's playing against.
Yeah, if their quarterbacks are so good, why aren't they putting up these numbers? Like,
yeah.
I don't understand. Like, I mean, they were also blowing out people. I mean, they were not just – they're a lot of these lesser teams, they were just kicking their butts. Like, everyone points to the Raiders loss in a week one. Okay, so then point to the Seahawks looking terrible in week one against San Francisco. Like,
yeah.
Who cares? Like, week one is week one. I mean, you had – everyone thought they'd lost the team a few years ago when they started 0-2. They won the Super Bowl. I believe the Cowboys started 0-2 because Emmitt Smith had a contract dispute, and they won the Super Bowl that year too. So, like, stop going back to early season. It's the way you end the season. We know that. I mean, you're not – everyone wants wire-to-wire stuff. That's not going to happen in the NFL. Like, the NFL's too tough. If you win 14 games the NFL season, you cannot be a fluke. This is a really hard league to win 14 games in. So, these teams are flukes. They're both complete teams, top 10 offenses, top 10 defenses. So everyone sit back, relax, watch the show. I think the halftime is going to be good. Bad Bunny puts on a good show as well.
Yeah.
So I think everything about this Super Bowl is going to be –
okay. And finally, when is the NFL draft?
You're looking at April 23rd.
Okay.
So
the reason I ask that is after this week and your follow-up articles and all that, you'll actually maybe have a little bit of time off, I would assume.
Well, we'll see. I'll have some in March, but for your listeners, if they want to go check out, I do have the top 100 free agents, and I do have the top 120 draft prospects.
Whoa.
So they put me to work on those. Those are out there. I don't know. So go check them out. And we can talk about that at some point. Free agency is going to be a big deal.
Okay. Well, we'll talk to you and find out exactly when you would like to speak to us, because we want you to rest, Vinny. Your work has been incredible. Okay. All right. Thanks, man.
I'm here anytime you want to talk to Matt Nagy, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Next week. Okay.
All right, later.
See ya. Jimmy. Oh. I'm so angry at myself.
Well, we can't talk about everything again.
No, I know, but that just for a minute, I wanted to do it. Oh, now I'm going to have to wait to talk, or I guess I could call Vinny on my own and find out.
Yeah, but what's the fun in that?
Yeah, no, there's no fun in that. All right. Coming up, we're going to let you hear from Colin Chandler as the Cats get ready to take on Oklahoma tonight at 9 p.m., 7:30 tonight from District 7 Social, the UK Game Day pregame show with me and Steve Tressler. ESPN 92.5 and 1300 AM.
ESPN 92.5.
Add up?
Yes, iron cash back just for buying the gas I was already buying.
Does that actually add up to anything?
I'll make $200 to $300 this year.
Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app now in the App Store or Google Play and start earning cash back on everyday gas purchases. Use promo code SAFE for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's up to 50 cents per gallon on your next fill up. You can cash out anytime, right to your bank account or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code SAFE for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code SAFE. Code SAFE. Offers vary by user and location. Go to upside.com for terms and conditions. Matthew and Jimmy, Alan Cutler and Brad Taylor. We ain't much to look at, but who cares? It's radio. Local and live Monday to Friday, 10 to 3. Get the ESPN Lexington app. Just search ESPN Sports Lexington in your app store.
All right, welcome back. The award-winning Matthew and Jimmy. I'm ready. Colin Chandler's ready. I'm ready. I'm ready for a night blowout. We're going to win by 28 instead of 24.
You doing this again?
Yeah.
I forget which game it was, but it went up by 10-point increments during the show.
By the time we do the pregame at 7:30 tonight,
yeah,
they'll be winning by 40. I have a feeling.
Obviously, yeah.
Because there are college basketball games we've seen this year where UConn won a game by 34 last night. I mean, it's going to happen tonight. Oklahoma's getting blown out tonight. Okay?
Hot take.
I'll let you know tomorrow.
Yeah, put it on the board.
Okay. I hope it's not a freezing cold day tomorrow.
So you better get your guy.
I'm going to text him tonight and tell him, if it happens, please don't put me up there on Twitter. Before we get to the top calls, and at 11:30, our guy Ricky O'Donnell, who covers the NBA for SB Nation, is going to join us. And we're going to talk all about all these trades and James Harden and how you want him to shave his beard too, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm all for it. Have you seen a picture of what he looks like without his beard?
No, I don't think I can't remember him without his beard.
It makes sense why he has a beard.
Oh.
He does not look like the intimidating force on the court.
I don't know. Is that what the beard is? Is it supposed to intimidate you?
I don't know, but it doesn't look right. I don't know if it's because we've seen him with a beard for so long, but yeah.
All right. Well, I'll look at it maybe sometime. Before we get to the top calls, though, I saw something earlier today, and it's, you know that I'm kind of rooting for the Seahawks because I want Sam Darnold to do all that stuff. And I'm not a particularly big Patriots fan. Okay, I'll just say it. However, I saw something today that was, I think, pretty amazing. Do you know about Terrell Williams, their defensive coordinator?
I don't think I know much about him.
Okay, I didn't either. After their first game this year that they lost, by the way, when they came back from the road, Terrell Williams wasn't feeling well. And he thought it was just something. And Mike Vrabel made him go to urgent care. And at urgent care, through that, they discovered that he had prostate cancer. And it was metastasizing, which means it's spreading. He basically has missed the entire year. This trip to California is his first road trip since the first week of the season. Now, Zach, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, the inside linebackers coach, Zach Kerr, I think, took over the play calling. But Terrell Williams he wasn't at the facility a lot, but he was certainly, you know, talking to them and all that stuff. But while he was basically away, the Patriots this year were second in points allowed and third in yardage allowed defensively.
Yeah.
And now he finally, I think this past week, announced he is cancer-free and made his first road trip since the first week of the season with them to California. And you know me. So now I'm like, okay, so I have to root for the Patriots now.
This is very similar to, I forget what year it was, Chuck Pagano was the head coach of the Colts.
Yeah.
He had cancer. Bruce Arians ended up, you know, taking over for him. And like that kind of, they didn't go on to the Super Bowl that year, but very
right.
Like where the team rallies around that.
Correct. Mike Vrabel even wears a patch on his jacket and all his things that says T strong.
Yeah.
And if it weren't, it's another reason I got to like Mike Vrabel. Damn it. If he hadn't said something to him, chances are.
Yeah.
That if he didn't go and get checked out right away, who knows what would have happened.
Because you think about it, you're a football coach. You're a football guy. You're tired. You're worn down all the time. That's fine. I don't have to worry. It's fine.
Right.
I don't have time anyways. We got to get back
right.
And watch film. I'll worry about it in the off season.
Right. And again, another reminder, get checked, people listening. I know you hear it all the time. It's true. Get checked. I have a twin brother who had prostate cancer. So that hits particularly hard for me too. And thank God Mitchie's fine, but get checked. All right. Can we do top plays now, please,
yeah. Jimmy? I was already going to bet on the Patriots. Now I absolutely.
Oh,
probably
boy.
Doubling down.
I got a hedge then, that means, because I've already bet on the.
I have to bet against my twin brother, Sam Darnold, in the Super Bowl. I can't.
Actually, you know what? That's the first time you've said that, and it's true. You look a lot like Sam Darnold.
I've had no less than 10 people tell me that the last couple weeks.
Seriously?
Yes. Yes.
Well, how could you not bet on?
And
on
I will tell you, I don't think Bree appreciates it. My wife, she doesn't think I look like him, and I think that tells me she thinks Sam Darnold is ugly. And other people think I look like him. So she's like, I just don't, I don't see it. And I'm like, even I
you know what? You know what? I would go with Bree.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I try to convince her.
Stick with Bree.
I'm like, well, no, if I put a hat on and it's like, if my beard's like him, cause he's like, he's very redhead. I just have the beard. Our beards are similar.
Yeah, they are. But his is red, red. Yours isn't.
Yeah. I mean, we can spin it both the same, but.
You let me know how you want to spin it and I'll help. Yeah. Okay.
No, I mean spin it like the pigskin.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess.
as his older twin brother, I taught him everything he knows.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh boy. See, another thing I didn't know about you is that you are an older twin brother. All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Eight years.
All right, what do we got here? We got to hurry up now because we got to get Ricky O'Donnell.
We got one from college. The Miami, Ohio Redhawks.
They the Redhawks. Yeah.
23-0. This was the ending of their game on the road in a raucous crowd. I think there was at least 1,500 people there in the gym at Buffalo last night.
Yeah.
So this is the ending of Miami, Ohio. Miami, Ohio is at the line up two.
This is a 1-1.
It is a 1-1. Skowjack's first is no good. Loose ball rebounded by the Bulls. Sable across half court. Chance at the buzzer. Sable short. And the Redhawks escape again against the Bulls. A 73-71 win.
I saw the highlights of the last minute of that game where one of the guys on the Redhawks hit two threes. And they beat Buffalo by two in their first meeting this year, I think. So, you know, we like Miami of Ohio Redhawks. We've been talking about them for a couple weeks now.
Yeah, I will say, I'll put my hand up. I was wrong. Remember I said the first time they get ranked, they're definitely going to lose because there's been all this hype.
Correct. Were wrong.
23-0, longest win streak in MAC history.
Whoa.
The storied MAC.
You got that right. Maction. Hello. All right. Quickly, Bronny James last night.
Yeah, I just thought this was pretty cool. It shows you the aura that Bronny James has. So they're on the road in Brooklyn. LA is up. I think at this point, they ended up winning by 20+. They were up a good bit in this. He only played 5 minutes, finished with 4 points. But listen to the away crowd in Brooklyn when, again, the visiting team. And Bronny James makes a bucket.
Last two games, James has 12 points. And now five out of his last seven. And the 14-point play. The move.
James is good!
Shooter's touch. Standing ovation.
They're doing more than standing.
That's unbelievable.
That's nuts. That just tells you. I mean, yeah, you could say nepotism. Why was he drafted? People want to watch Bronny.
Yeah. In a couple of years, here's my prediction. Bronny will be an all-star in 2 years.
Are we talking like a Shedeur Sanders type all-star?
No. He'll be a legit all-star. There. You'll see.
When I looked at the box score, I was waiting to see Bronny with like 17 points, and I was like, he played 5 minutes? And he got that kind of pop from the crowd?
All right, and you have to play this real quick because, well, when you play it, everybody will know why.
Say again, it broke up.
Oh, I said you have to play this because when you play it, everybody will know why.
Oh, yeah. This is some game happened in 2008. There was an undefeated team.
Yeah.
And Eli Manning. This is the helmet catch and then Plaxico Burress.
Pressure from Thomas off the edge. Eli Manning stays on his feet, airs it out down the field. It is caught by Tyree. Inside the 25, and a timeout taken.
Oh, my God. This ball's thrown, and Tyree just goes up for it like a basketball player. Harrison trying to knock it down.
The ball inside the 14. 39 seconds left. Manning lobs it. Burress alone. Touchdown.
Wow.
Chills. And you know what? That was a terrible call by them, by the way, on the Tyree catch. Terrible. It wasn't so much, the helmet catch was amazing. What was the most amazing thing was that Eli Manning did not get sacked on that.
Yeah, if this isn't 2026, he's down immediately. Oh, they're blowing the whistle.
I mean, I've seen it 100 times. I don't understand how he wasn't on the ground on that play.
Well, look at him. He's peak athleticism.
Okay. We'll take a break.
That's how.
And Ricky O'Donnell will join us, and we'll talk about whether James Harden should shave his beard. It's ESPN 92.5 and 1300 AM.
ESPN 92.5 and 13. The National Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Lexington area weather.
Precipitation from last night is leaving the area, but it's leaving behind some slushy roads and the possibility for black ice. So use caution as you're traveling this morning. Temperatures are down in those 20s. By this afternoon, we're only going to reach the upper 20s, maybe lower 30s. With your ABC 36 storm team, I'm meteorologist Ashley Cade.
Hear the best SEC talk in America on the Paul Feinbaum Show with me, Paul Feinbaum. Weekdays 3 to 7 on ESPN 92.5 and 1300 AM.
Welcome back to the award-winning Matthew and Jimmy. Earlier in the show, we were talking about how great it is, not that we get to speak with Ricky O'Donnell every week, but it always seems like around this time that right at the deadline, we get to talk to Ricky O'Donnell and have him explain all of the stuff to us, the deals and the 2031 number one draft picks and all of it. And that happens again this year. So let's say hello to our friend Ricky O'Donnell. Hi, Ricky.
How you doing, guys?
Oh, we're okay. How are you doing? There's a lot. You got a lot going on today.
This is a crazy week for me. I got Super Bowl planning. I got Olympic planning. I got NBA trade deadline coverage.
Oh,
I'm losing my a little bit, but you know, I'm lucky. But I have a job doing this, so anything to keep my paychecks coming, I'm down.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. But and everything you do, as we always say, is just so great. Here's where our first question for you, and it may be a little different than you've been getting asked by people. Should what's his name, Jimmy? That guy, Harden?
James. James.
Yeah. Should James Harden shave his beard before he shows up in Cleveland?
Hilarious question. I'm going to say no. I feel like the beard is part of Harden's brand, and the beard will go with him, you know, yeah, forever. Last time he didn't have that beard was in high school, I think, his recruiting picture on Rivals or Scouts or whatever, is Harden without a beard. But that was many, many years ago now. What a crazy trade. James Harden going to Cleveland for Darius Garland. A rule of thumb in sports is that you do not trade young for old. And the Cavs broke that rule by getting James Harden. But you know what? Darius Garland's body kept breaking down. They did not think they could rely on him. This toe injury he had ruined them last season in Cleveland, their playoff run. And he hasn't been healthy this year either. So it's a really interesting trade. I don't really like it for the Cavs, and I like it more for the Clippers. But then again, the Cavs know Darius Garland's body better than any organization. And if they're comfortable getting out on him now for this type of play, you know, maybe that speaks volumes. So fascinating trade, and we'll see how it turns out.
And I think it all depends, of course. And we heard reports that they're both so excited is how he and Donovan Mitchell are going to be able to share the basketball, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, Harden is just about the most ball-dominant player in the NBA.
Yeah.
Doncic right there together, so it's going to be interesting. And, like, you're getting rid of Garland because you don't trust him to hold up in the playoffs, but James Harden's, like, literally the worst playoff superstar ever. Defined by his failure in the playoffs. And I think he's 36 or 37 years old. So, you know, at this point, if he really put together a signature playoff run, that would be pretty surprising at this point in his career. However, the best ability is availability. And James Harden, for all of his faults, he plays. You know, he plays hurt.
Yeah.
He's a durable guy. So, I don't know how this is going to work out between Mitchell and Harden. Mitchell's had such an amazing year and is maybe the best American-born player in the NBA at this point. But it's going to be a fascinating fit because both those guys need the ball in their hands. As the old saying goes, there's only one rock to go around, and we'll see how it goes out.
Do you think this – what does this do to Cleveland in the East? With, as we've talked about all year, with the injuries that the East has, does this – move them into more of a title contender? I feel like it's hard to know because the name James Harden, of course, you would just think, like, okay, well, this improves him. But like you said, his playoff resume is not great, and it's not like he's only been in the league 5 years and he has a bad playoff resume. Like, this is extended time in the playoff where he just continues to not show up.
Yeah. And coming into the year, I thought it was like Cavs or Knicks, right? Coming out of the East. The question was really, would you take the Knicks, the Cavs, or the Field? And the Cavs have struggled this year because they've been so injured, Darius Garland being a big part of that. Now you swap out Garland for Harden. I feel like there's going to be an adjustment period because Harden is such a idiosyncratic player. Like, there's just not a lot of guys like him. I mean, Luka is the obvious younger parallel, but, you know, just so ball dominant, such a high usage rate that they're going to need to use these next 20, 30 games as just a runway to figure out what their offense looks like in the playoffs. Harden probably going to be around next year too. Maybe LeBron will join them. So I think Cleveland's probably thinking, you know, 2 year window here with Harden. But I mean, I would take Cleveland to the playoff team over the Raptors, who are just ahead of them in the standings. But then Detroit, New York, Boston, I like those top three all better than Cleveland, even after this trade. We'll see how it shakes out. But yeah, I would say, you know, still Knicks or Pistons, probably. If Jason Tatum comes back, the Celtics are now arguably the favorite, depending on how he looks coming off the Achilles. So a lot to yet to determine in the East. The Cavs, I would say, are a tier two Eastern Conference contender, which makes them like a tier four championship contender. Once you factor in the West teams, Cleveland's got a lot of work to do, but, you know, at least Harden plays. That's something he's got going for him.
All right, before we get to your Bulls, because you wrote some great stuff about this, their trades too. The Celtics made a pretty big move, I think, in helping their front court.
Yeah, Celtics get Nikola Vucevic from the Bulls. They trade Anthony Simons, second round pick. So I kind of like this deal for both sides. Bulls finally getting out of the Vooch business after he had been on the team for so long, so much mediocrity during the Vooch era. But, you know, he was a very good defensive rebounder who could shoot threes. And that's kind of an interesting combination, especially for a team like Boston that they basically tried to use money ball tactics to piece together their front court without putting, you know, a lot of investment in it. Nieamis Keita has been awesome for him this year. Luka Garza has been okay, but I think that Vooch is an upgrade over that. So I like it for the Celtics. I think that Vooch's limitations, he can't really run or jump at this point in his career, but he still gobbles up those rebounds, and he's still a really good three-point shooter for someone who's his size. So I think that's a win-win trade in general. And, hey, Vooch finally gets to play meaningful basketball. After spending his whole career in Orlando and Chicago, that is going to be a welcome sight to his eyes.
All right, let's go to your Bulls. Talk to us a little bit about what they did and Jaden Ivey and all the things going on with the Bulls now that they are Vooch-less.
Yeah, the Bulls just acquiring all the guards. The whole roster is guards at this point. They trade Vooch for a guard and Anthony Simons. They acquire a guard and Jaden Ivey. It's going to be pretty interesting to see, like, are the Bulls going to trade Kobe White or Ayo Dosunmu? Like, what are they really thinking with the long-term structure of the team? They need bigs. They need forwards. They need wings. They only have guards. So we'll see how that all takes. I kind of like it, though. Like, I loved Jaden Ivey at Purdue. I like the fact that he's a coach's son with Niall Ivey, his mom being the head coach in Notre Dame women's basketball. She's awesome. I've covered Notre Dame women's game. She's a superstar as a head coach. So I think Ivy, you know, the thing is he just had a horrific knee injury, or a horrific leg injury, I should say, on New Year's Day 2025. Cole Anthony dove at his feet and just a totally dirty play and very ugly scene taken off on a stretcher. He hasn't been the same guy since. So he's got to get back physically. Because, like, he was special because he was so fast with the ball in his hands. He just had like a level of burst and athleticism that you don't see. So if he can get back physically, I like it. But he also needs a new contract. The Bulls have a lot of guards. Is he going to agree to a team-friendly deal? How do they re-sign him? So a lot of questions for the Bulls. But as an upside play, I do kind of like Ivy. And then Simons, kind of like very similar to Kobe White, sort of a shot chucker, I would say. If you ever played pickup basketball with a guy who just wants to shoot every time he touches the ball, that is Anthony Simons. But you know what? He's a 40% three-point shooter, taking like 14 threes per 100 possessions. Those are crazy numbers. So I think that, you know, he could be a solid player. I don't know if he's going to be in the Bulls' long-term plan. So,
all right. In terms of all the trade deadline stuff, I saw the Memphis Grizzlies are involved in these trades and blah, blah, blah. And they now have seven first round. Well, the first round picks they have are 2031, 2030, 2029. And I guess long term, that's good for a franchise, I guess. But what are they doing? Are they just blow up the whole team, get rid of John Morant, and start over with eight new guys, right?
Yeah, they're doing it. They're rebuilding this team around Zach Edey and around Cedric Howard, who's their rookie this year. I think, you know, the Grizzlies just came to their senses in that they couldn't compete in the West. Like, a few years ago, it looked like they had the best young core in the West with Jaren Jackson, John Morant, Desmond Bain. They already sold high on Bain, sold high on Jaren Jackson. So I do kind of like what the Grizzlies are doing. And you could say, yeah, it's a 2031 draft pick, but that's Phoenix's 2031 draft pick. You know, Phoenix could be pretty bad by then. They have a pretty limited space and draft pick situation. And I would say, you know, trade that pick eventually, like before it conveys. So that could be a pretty valuable trade chip, right? I would love if the Bulls had a Suns 2031 first round pick. Like, that's just, you could use that to get something really good, or if you hold on to it, it could end up being a pretty high pick. So I like what the Grizzlies are doing. I think that they just realized that they couldn't compete in the West. So you might as well sell high on your guys instead of, you know, holding on to them too long and doing it too late. So I like what Memphis is doing. And then from Utah's perspective, one of my takes is that you can't tank forever. You know, you can only tank for maybe 3 years at the most until ownership and base, they all get upset. And Utah's been terrible since they traded Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. It was time for them to start winning. They'll have one more bite at the apple in this loaded 2026 draft. And then after that, you know, you got to spend some money, you got to make some trades, and you got to try to win some games in the Western Conference. You can't always be roadkill. So I think that's what the Jazz are trying to do. I think it's always good to try to win. So I commend Utah. They're going to be very expensive now with Jaren Jackson Jr., Lauri Markkanen making a lot of money. They're probably going to have to re-sign Walker Kessler to a lot of money. Deontay George is going to get a huge extension. He's been one of the most improved players in the NBA this year. But I like trying to win. I think it's good to try to win when you're in the NBA. So good for Utah doing that, and we'll see how it comes to pass.
Jimmy, what Ricky, Jimmy had an interesting thought before about 2031 draft picks. What was that you brought up, Jimmy?
I was trying to do the math, Ricky. Rajon Rondo's son, I think 2031, would that be the year he could potentially be draft eligible if he's in eighth grade this year? So maybe that could be the reason to hold on to that pick.
There you go. I mean, we're drafting seventh and eighth graders when you're getting a 2031 pick. But, man, it's just – I know. Time just moves so fast as you get older. And you know, you look at these, like, Fernando Mendoza videos. It's, like, from 2017 or 2018. He's, like, in junior high for Mendoza. Yeah. And now he's, like, this superstar, right? So it happens quick. I mean, to me, 2018 doesn't seem that long ago.
No.
You know, but it was, especially when you're a young athlete and you're in the prime of your career. So I just think that's a good chip to have either way. Like, trade that for someone better before it happens. So I like what he's doing.
What about
all right, go Jimmy.
I feel like we have to bring up Giannis in any sort of update. Is he going to get traded? Because it's NBA trade deadline time, and you have to talk about Giannis, even if we know he's not going to get dealt till the offseason.
Yeah, he could get traded. Like, I feel like the genie's out of the bottle on this one, and it's hard to put the genie back into the bottle once he escapes. Like, everyone knows Giannis would probably ideally like to finish his career in Milwaukee, but the Bucks took a bunch of big swings. They won one championship, which is great. but now they have no options. And the Bucks absolutely stink. Like, they have no hope, in my opinion. So
yeah.
I think they got to trade Giannis. Mm. They should probably try to trade him for a big package of picks and players. And, you know, I'm thinking back to the Timberwolves with Kevin Garnett. I'm thinking back to the Trailblazers with Damian Lillard. Like, it's always better to act sooner than later in these situations. Like, Giannis is getting older, too. He's 31 right now. He hasn't made it out of the first round in the East the last 3 years. He constantly has lower body issues. So if I'm the Bucks, I would just trade Giannis for the best package you could get. Now, maybe the best package is in the offseason when there's more bidders, when more future draft picks from 2033 are unlocked, drafting fifth or whatever. But I think the Bucks got to come to their senses and trade Giannis. And Giannis, you know, you can be the bad guy. It's okay, man. Like, he doesn't want to be the bad guy, and that's why this is dragging out, and that's why this has become, like, quite frankly, pretty annoying. That it just seems like every week we have a new update on, like, Willie or Walty requests a trade. He's requesting a trade, but he's still saying it. He's, like, soft launching a trade request. I don't know. I'm kind of sick of it. Just trade Giannis already or trade him in the summer. But I think that Giannis needs to compete for championships, and he cannot do it in Milwaukee.
That is the definitive word, and I think it's how Jimmy and I feel, too. As always, you're the best, man. Thanks, Ricky. He used a word, a phrase that I loved. The best ability is availability. That's a phrase that, you know, it's kind of how we feel about what you and I do, too, I think.
Yeah, it's a good advice for life.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those cliche coach speak kind of things, but it is true.
Tell that
to Wally Pipp, huh?
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. As always, we finish up the day with headlines from ESPN.com. Here's the big one. Jets name Frank Reich as offensive coordinator in critical hire for Glenn. What do you think? I think that's a good move.
It's the Jets, so
he'll be trash.
I don't know if it really matters. Apparently, they were teammates back in the day, Frank Reich and Aaron Glenn. I highly doubt that has anything to do with why they hired him. I mean, he had a great comeback win for Buffalo. What was that, 35 years ago now? So
something like that, yeah.
I mean, I feel like as an offensive coordinator, he's a good name. But again, what are you dealing with? You're in New York. You're with the Jets. What's your quarterback? Is Justin Fields going to come back? I mean, what do they do? Are they going to re-sign Brees Hall?
Quarterback?
I don't know. Can they get Zach Wilson back from the Dolphins?
Oh, stop.
So, like, again,
maybe Sam Darnold will go back there.
Good. Oh, reunion?
Yeah, just saying. Yeah.
I'm sure that's where he wants to go.
Also, Bryce James, you were speaking of Rajon Rondo's son?
Yeah.
Bryce James, who is at Arizona, is going to redshirt LeBron's son. So that's some big news, I guess. I don't know. Oh, here we had, as people know, Christine Brennan from Milan, Italy, yesterday in the Olympics. And she was the first to tell us right away that Lindsey Vonn was going to race with a ruptured ACL.
I don't understand how that's physically possible.
Okay, here's the headline. Her coach says she will definitely race, even though she apparently, Lindsey Vonn needed to use a crutch to get around over the weekend. Now she's performing box jumps.
That's
working out in a pool while wearing a weighted vest and skiing at high speed.
Especially with it being a ruptured, this isn't a partially torn. This is a completely gone ACL. Your ACL is that's your lateral movement.
Yeah, I should know this because I played doctors on TV. It's not a torn ACL. It's ruptured.
So maybe that's not as bad.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
The word ruptured seems way worse.
Yeah, but you never hear it. It's always a torn ACL, right?
Yeah.
She's pulled up great from everything she's doing. No swelling, no pain. And she said surgery hasn't been discussed.
Yeah, then maybe it is.
She doesn't even have to win or medal. If she races,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
already.
Because when people talk about an Achilles, they say a ruptured Achilles tendon. A tendon. All I know is I walked around when I tore my ACL. I didn't have surgery for like 2 months. Every step, if I had to go straight forward, you're fine. Like, you don't need it to walk.
Right. But yeah.
You do anything active, boy, when that thing gives out, it.
All right. I'm going to do some research this afternoon. I'll report back to you tomorrow.
Okay.
What about that? All right. 7:30 tonight from District 7 Social. UK Game Day pregame with me and Steve Tressler. Cats at 9 at Rupp playing Oklahoma. Jimmy and I will be back tomorrow. That's it. Whew. It's ESPN 92.5, 1300 AM. Brought to you by Georgetown Advantage Air.
Matthew and Jimmy, Alan Cutler.